Our first article looks at the rise of the alt-right in the United States. In Donald Trump's America, far-right groups have become more and more visible. Among them is the alt-right, a political movement originating on social media that supports extreme right-wing ideologies. Who are they? What do they want? And how dangerous are they? A report.
The first time that 29-year-old American William Fears heard the expression alt-right was in August of 2016. It was during the presidential election when Hillary Clinton gave a major speech in Nevada denouncing America's alternative right, shortened to alt-right, as an emerging racist ideology similar to Nazism. Clinton warned the masses of Americans who were unfamiliar with the internet-based movement of young white supremacists that they were now taking over the Republican Party. Donald Trump's own campaign manager was the head of Breitbart News, one of many extreme-right websites that, using the pretext of supporting free speech, give intellectual legitimacy to the racism, misogyny, and anti-Semitism of a new generation of young, male white supremacists. The publicity that Clinton generated for the alt-right worked entirely in its favor. People like William Fears began looking into alt-right websites, becoming rapidly indoctrinated into their view that white men, such as themselves, are being victimized by an America focused on minority rights, positive discrimination, and equal rights. In other words, they see white people as victims of discrimination. Before long, Fears was one of around 700 white supremacists who converged on the town of Charlottesville, Virginia, last August. In the violence that ensued, one outrighter drove his car into a crowd of counter-demonstrators, killing a young woman and injuring dozens. Talking to the Washington Post about his political journey to Charlottesville, Fears said, "It's probably been about a year, but my evolution has been faster and faster." In some respects, it's not that different from Islamist extremists, says Ryan Lenz about the alt-right's rapid indoctrination of young American males. Lenz works for an association called the Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC, which, since the early 1970s, has been documenting all the active hate groups in the United States. The SPLC currently identifies more than 900 such hate groups and warns that they are growing. As with Islamist extremism, Len says, the alt-right is attractive to young men who feel victimized by society. "Where I live, go to any McDonald's or Walmart and most of the employees are black," says Peyton Oubre, 21, an unemployed alt-righter from Louisiana who was also part of the Charlottesville confrontation. "Every time I walked into Walmart, there were no white people. How come they're getting hired and I can't?" Americans were shocked by the fatal violence that broke out between the alt-right and counter-demonstrators in Charlottesville. They were also scandalized by President Donald Trump's reaction, in which he failed to condemn the white supremacists, calling them fine people. And then there was the way many white supremacists had come dressed in militaristic clothing and body armor, openly carrying semi-automatic weapons, which is legal in Virginia, in a clear show of intimidation. "They had better equipment than our state police had," commented Terry McAuliffe, governor of Virginia. But just how big a risk do these white supremacists pose? Foreign Policy magazine asked a group of national security experts to evaluate the risk of major social violence in the USA. Their predictions ranged from 95% to just 5%, with the consensus being that there is a 1-in-3 probability of what they loosely called civil war in the next 10 to 15 years. "It is like 1859, wrote Keith Mines, one of the experts in question, referring to the moment just before America's Civil War. "Everyone is mad about something, and everyone has a gun." Others say that the reaction to the rise of the alt-right owes more to media hysteria than to any real risk of social warfare. "This is a gang of freaks that social media gives the power to unite," argued the author Garrison Keillor in The Washington Post. In a nation of 323 million, you can Google the secret words and get 700 sociopaths to come to Charlottesville. This is not a meaningful phenomenon. You could also get 700 apocalyptic Episcopalians who know the world will end on Tuesday. Furthermore, despite the social and political tensions in America, not least in Washington, D.C. itself, the country today is a great deal more peaceful than people realize, as the New York Times says. We are nowhere close to the social chaos and revolutionary fervor that gave us 2,500 bombings in 18 months during Richard Nixon's first term, wrote the New York Times, referring to the late 1960s when race politics were far more vicious. No doubt, the calmer voices are right about America's overall cohesion, but that is not the way that individuals in the alt-right see things, and any one of them could have the potential for violence and access to weapons. Things are life and death now, the young convert William Fears told the Washington Post. I would like there not to be more violence, but it might be inevitable. So let's get this out of the way. If there's going to be a race war, maybe we should do it. Maybe we should escalate it. If I'm killed, that's fine. Maybe I'll be a martyr or something. Sound frighteningly familiar?